This is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
All right, welcome back in here to the Mark Cox Morning Show, where today we are celebrating Kim St. Ange and her brand new baby boy, who was delivered yesterday. We're very happy for them. Everybody's happy and healthy. 9-pound Hudson Christopher was welcomed to the world yesterday. So we're anxious to meet the little dude. I've seen a few pictures. And as a result of that, Dan Buck is in again with us this morning, and we're thrilled to have him here. Dan, thank you.
Well, I appreciate it, and I'll be back next week, like 4 days next week. So this week's going to be a little short. I'm going out to see my new grandbaby.
Congratulations.
Yeah, my son had the first baby boy in our family, so we'll be spending the time. He lives in Lawrence, Kansas, so we're going to go out there and spend 3 days and just love on that little guy. He's not 9 pounds, but 7'8", and 20 and a half inches long, so he's a healthy one too. So.
And guess what? He's. I think I don't want to give away anything here. My guess is you will be delivering to him that already well-oiled baseball mitt to get him used to it.
My childhood glove. I kept it. I gave it to my nephew when I went away to college. I got a new glove when I went and played college ball.
Yep.
He gave it back to me when he heard I was going to be I finally had a grandson. So that glove will be. Now it's a lefty. So, little pressure. We're going to tie his right hand behind his back for a while. But it's an A2000 that's probably 40 years old. No, it's got to be older than that. It's got to be 50 years old.
Is this little Dan Jr.?
His middle name is Daniel. Matthew. The two middle names are both grandfathers. How cool is that?
Love that. Isn't that great? Is fantastic. Well, congratulations. And Dan will be helping us out while Kim is out on leave with her new one. And, of course, we'll be having a few other people fill in as well. But it'll primarily be Dan when we can get him to wake up this early.
It's brutal. I know it is.
Brutal stuff.
I can't believe you start at 5 a.m. I'm sure people in that 5 o'clock hour love having a local show on that early.
This is true.
All 10 of them.
Woo! All 10. Oh, there's a few more than that, Dan.
I'm just teasing.
Right. Hey, right now I want to get to attorney Jeremy Rosenthal, who's got a few minutes to join us this morning. Jeremy, how are you?
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you for being available to us this morning. You know, I saw some of these stories that you're covering, and of course, we were talking about some of the president's attempts at restricting mail-in balloting and all this other stuff. And I see here that some blue states are trying to sue the president, right, over his restrictions on crime grants that they've had already, I guess, allotted to their towns.
Right. Real complicated story. When I don't know how much time you've spent in the federal pen, a little bit, a lot. Not much, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
you don't sound like many of them. Well, when you go to the federal pen, you tend to stay there. So you would not be broadcasting. Yeah. So when you have your house seized, when you have your drug money seized, your car seized, when you pay fines and all that stuff, it goes into a crime fund. And it goes around the country to pay for rape kits. It pays for battered women's shelter. It pays for, you know, helping you rebuild your house when somebody came in and blew it up or something like that. That's what those funds are for.
Okay.
And what the administration has done is they're basically denying grants unless you play ball on immigration. And so these states are basically saying, well, time out here. First off, it doesn't say anywhere in the Crime Victim Fund Act, which was passed Ronald Reagan signed it into law in like 84. They're saying, look, you can't tie the money up this way. This is not kosher. That's what this fight is about. And it's just another political chicken and egg and just sort of wrestling push pull match is kind of what it's boiling down to.
I see. Well, I wondered, it's not the least of which I know they're going to fight over sanctuary cities and funding and all kinds of stuff that's coming down the pike. Jeremy Rosenthal is with us this morning. Attorney, you know, I played the James Comey bite, the online 5-minute rant from earlier this week, where he lamented some Taylor Swift songs and you know what was the one he quoted? Why can't we all be get along or something. I don't know what it was. That's Rodney King. Why can't we all get along? But he was quoting Taylor Swift as lamenting why the world couldn't be more like her music. And now we find out that the Federal Trade Commission is suing somebody over selling too many of her tickets. Is that right?
This is an industry from stem to stern, the concert industry, that they're cruising for a bruising. You've got Ticketmaster and Live Nation who are on the top end of this, and they're getting sued right now for a Sherman Antitrust Monopoly Act, right? Because they simply control too much of the market. And now, who's getting sued? The Federal Trade Commission is now suing some of these secondary ticket sellers. One in particular, they're called the Key Investment Group. They own something called Epic Tickets and two or three other subsidiaries. Basically what happens is Ticketmaster, they're doing their best. They're limiting ticket sales on some of these really high-profile shows to 4, 5, 6 tickets each. And there is a federal law in place that says you can't end around that. You can't make a bunch of bots. You can't, set up fake whatevers to buy 1,200 of these. But that's what's happening. And this group literally has set up a whole bunch of email accounts of people who are either fake or non-existent or dead or whatever. They set up a whole bunch of credit card accounts under the same way. They set up a whole texting system to where when Ticketmaster sends you the verification, they've got it all texted back. So they've literally end-arounded the system in direct violation of federal law. So the FTC is like, okay, guys, now we're going to take you on. But the whole industry it's really bad. Any Swiftie people out there, I've got a Swiftie at home, and man, I'll tell you what, that's the wrong group of people to upset.
So did your Swiftie get one of those $20,000 tickets to see her in her last tour?
It wasn't quite that bad, but I'll tell you what, I'm not sad that the Eras tour is over. We'll just put it like that.
I have a $500 limit. I'm just kidding. You missed a segment before where I have a $500 limit from dog expenses. Definitely, if I had a Swiftie in my house, would say $500. If you can't find a ticket for less than that, ain't going. It's crazy.
Yeah. No. And did you think back in the 80s and the 90s that you would say, if 2025, Dan said, I'm only going to pay $500. You'd be like, well, no way.
I remember complaining for a $40 ticket to the Iowa Jam where I saw Journey, Styx, and Foghat in the same concert. One ticket.
Yeah.
And I got to see three killer bands. Yeah.
Right.
And, I mean, today it's insane. I refuse to pay it. I just said I'm not gonna support that kind of a crazy ticket price. Nobody's worth that much money.
I'm in Dallas, and I get to go to Cowboys games where I pay $14. I say it's $14 for water. I'm sure it's only $12, but we've got Jerry Jones here. But you just can't win. You can't win.
And Dallas doesn't very often.
No, we don't. Thank you very much.
We don't have an NFL team, Jeremy.
I want to know whether the Dallas Cowboys are the Cowboys going to conform to the NFL, encouraging them to take on male cheerleaders like they've done in other cities already?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
It's such an iconic brand. I
was just going to say, you guys are going to win just as many Super Bowls as we will this year. That's true.
Jeremy, you're a good sport, my friend. Thanks for your time this morning.
Have a great day.
All right. Take care. I appreciate that. TexasDefenseFirm.com is Jeremy's firm.
Got to be tough to be a Cowboy fan, too.
Oh,
right
I know.
Just got to be brutal.
Just rough. I can't imagine the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders are going to stoop to that level, but
NFL's requesting it. The Detroit owner told him to go pound sand.
Good.
The Ford
Kansas
family.
City, I wonder if the Chiefs will, too, probably.
I would think the Hunts would definitely not be putting a male cheerleader
Minnesota
out there.
Vikings, on the other hand, have invited Tim Waltz for a tryout.
Have you seen some of the AI clips of Tim Waltz in the Vikings? Not Vikings, but the Vikings outfit.
My goodness, yeah. Coming up, Genevieve Wood is going to join us. We're going to talk a little bit more about mail-in voting and some of the dangers attached to it. The president brought it up. We'll talk it over with Genevieve coming up. Love those promos they're running. Just so you know, Kim St. Ange not in right now because she's just out on maternity leave because her bouncing baby boy decided to come about a week and a half early. So she's at home. Everybody's happy and healthy. And Kim is going to be out for a little while taking care of that sweet baby boy. And we got Dan Buck filling in. We'll have a few others guest hosting over the course of her leave. But right now, let's get to Genevieve Wood.
The stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas.
All right, Genevieve, but back on the phone with us this morning. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, doing well, and congratulations to Kim. That's great news.
Yeah, we're all thrilled for her, no doubt about it. She's it's quite a story. I'm going to let her tell it on the air when we get her on here again at some point after she's feeling up to it. You know, Genevieve, I heard the president say that he'd like to stop mail-in balloting. And then everybody's like, oh, there's no evidence. Is there any wrongdoing in mail-in balloting? And then I hear John Solomon yesterday from Just the News break this story out of the FBI, what he's hearing from Kash Patel. And I know it's not related to what they're doing in Virginia here, but I thought this was interesting. Listen to this bite from John Solomon just from yesterday.
Story that Kash Patel turned over to the Congress, documents showing that the FBI suspected that China was mailing tens of thousands of fake driver's licenses to Chinese citizens here so that they could create fake identities and then cast mail-in ballots for Joe Biden in the 2020 election.
So the story is that the FBI suspected this was happening, and the investigation got shut down under the Biden administration. And now Virginia is warning people about the dangers of relying on mail-in balloting. Is that right?
That is right. I mean, the story coming out of the FBI, I love it. Joe Biden, they suspect that people who aren't citizens are voting for Joe Biden, so Joe Biden shuts down the investigation. That makes a lot of sense.
It does.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think anybody who really thinks about mail-in ballots and thinks, you know, hard about it realizes these are not secure. I mean, they're not only are they not secure, I mean, anything you really want to get somewhere, do you put it in the postal system? I don't.
No.
I mean, because you're not sure it's going to get there. You're not sure when. So, I mean, there's always been questions with it. But, I mean, state after state, including now Virginia, is taking a harder look at it again, are realizing these are not the way you go about it. There's just too many options for fraud. They got rid of it. Even Governor Glenn Youngkin signed a bill that said you no longer, it used to be if you mailed in a ballot, first of all, it was only for people usually who were shut-ins, you know, who had health problems and couldn't get to the voting booth. They liberalized it during COVID, making it anybody could basically request a mail-in ballot for any reason. And they took away the requirement that you had to have a witness signing the mail-in ballot as well, you know, saying, oh, yes, this is so-and-so who's actually turning their ballot in. And you could just put down, you know, the last four digits of your Social Security number. Well, we all know how fraudulent that can be.
Sure.
So there's so many reasons to say, look, let's get rid of it, or at the very least go back to what it used to be, which is not everybody can do it, only those who truly need it. And in those cases, you have to make sure. I mean, you see people requesting ballots for nursing homes and retirement communities. And in many of those cases, the people who live there weren't the ones who requested it. It's other people trying to tamper with it and trying to influence the vote.
It happened right here in St. Louis a few years back. They were going door to door in elderly housing, encouraging the people to request absentee ballots, having them call them when the ballot arrived, and then they came back and filled it out for the elderly person and then mailed it in. And they got busted, fortunately, but I think it exposes the risks in that system.
That's absolutely, and you know, again, people have to think, well, how many votes could that be? That, look, that kind of tampering may not affect all presidential elections, but it can definitely affect local elections, state elections where the voter turnout is much lower. That kind of tampering can have huge effects at levels people just don't think about.
Yeah. And many of those swing states, too, Wisconsin comes to mind, where they had just massive ballot harvesting at senior homes and tons of unvalidated ballots that got no national attention, but literally thousands in what could have been a very major state in that presidential election. That's got to be fixed. We've got to get rid of this mail-in opportunity where no IDs, no signature verifications, really nothing to protect fraud from occurring.
Yeah.
That's right. Look, if you really care about your country and you really care about your elections, then you have to take the time to go vote. And we have to take the time to say we're going to make our measures secure. And it can be done. Plenty of states are trying to make their elections much more secure, but we got a lot of work to do.
It's true. Genevieve Wood, our guest from the Heritage Foundation, got about a minute and a half left here. What's the crime situation like there in D.C. where you live, or in work at least? I know you work, your office is there in D.C.
Yeah.
Is it better?
No. Well, I mean, it's better in the past week, maybe. But no, look, I've lived in D.C. since the early 2000s, and it is a different city now than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And by that meaning, do I always think I'm going to get shot when I walk out the door? No. But you are always aware that there's been an unease on the streets is the best way that I could put it. And yes, in certain neighborhoods, it's certainly worse than others. But the reality is crime has been a real problem in the district for several years now. And I know, you know, I've talked to plenty of folks, including not people that are Republicans or conservatives, that say, you know what, it is a problem. And I may not like Trump, but I'm really hoping this is going to work.
Yeah.
Because people, they fear for themselves, they fear for their property. And if people, you know young people who are interning there, who are living there, which is a lot of what's on Capitol Hill, their parents are worried about them, and rightly so. But it's also just for the district residents themselves. It is unfair to them how this has been allowed to happen.
Very good. Genevieve Wood, Senior Advisor there with Heritage. Always great having you on. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Thank you. All right. Yeah, we appreciate that. Back in just a minute.
I'm talking about Anthony Wiener's Wiener. Tony Wiener's Wiener. U.S. Congressman Anthony Wiener's Wiener. He put it in a tweet.
Yeah. YouTube is still undefeated. I just have to tell you. It didn't take long. Back in 2011, of course, you remember Anthony Weiner, the congressman from New York. He was married to Huma Abedin, Hillary Clinton's right-hand woman, who's now remarried to Alex Soros. So you see the incestuousness of this whole mess in New York. But Anthony Weiner's tried to make a couple of comebacks, so to speak, to run for office again. He was going to run for, he served prison time, right?
Yeah, of course.
And he served prison time not just for being stupid, right? Can we call this for what it is? He didn't serve prison time just for being stupid, because that song makes a joke about Anthony Weiner because he was sexting.
Yes, sending pictures
he
to a minor.
Sending pictures of his wiener to women, right? Some of them didn't want to see his stuff.
And even asked him to stop.
And he sent them pictures anyway. But that's not why he went to jail. But even today, this guy's on a podcast this week claiming that he didn't deserve to go to prison for what he did. Go to cut number two, please.
It's ridiculous for me to get charged with a crime and to do prison sentence for the things that I did.
You think that?
Well, no one
is that your claim?
No one generally gets prosecuted. No one in the Southern District's ever been sentenced for obscenity, for transferring obscene material. So I did learn that there was an element of prosecutorial discretion that I think everyone should be concerned about, that people being made examples of, and the idea of people being over-incarcerated. I learned I was a very privileged person to be in that system, okay, but I experienced a lot of men in that system.
All right, I've heard enough from Anthony Weiner. So he was over-prosecuted for his crime. Right?
Yeah.
In the federal system, this is kind of how it works. Maybe we could have Catherine Hanaway describe this when she comes in tomorrow. She was a U.S. attorney. They bring you in the door. They've got you. They've got you when they get you in the door. And usually what they'll tell you is you can plead guilty and you'll get a reduced sentence and maybe we'll waive the fine. Or you can roll the dice and take this to court. It's going to cost you
lots of money.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees. And if you lose in a federal court, you'll do three times the amount of jail time you would do unless you take the plea deal. They do it all the time. So that's what they did to Anthony Weiner.
And now Anthony Weiner is regretting his choice of pleading guilty to this. But you remember what he pleaded guilty to? It wasn't just sending a sex pic of his private parts to a girl. He sent sex pics of his private parts to an underage girl. And fortunately, the podcaster had the presence of mind to actually push back on that a little bit. And the guy still is trying to claim innocence, even though they had the picture and they knew how old the girl was. Listen.
Sex crimes have their own special thing in people's imagination because they take in such a broad range of different things.
Is it all sex crimes or is it just involving minors?
No, it's all sex crimes.
It's all sex crimes.
All sex crimes.
Yeah. Do you know that this individual was underage at the time?
I didn't have a trial, and I'm reluctant to do anything that sounds like I'm not accepting responsibility for what I did. However, there are elements of this case that made it winnable for me. Let's just put it that way.
Wow.
You know what? Laura Ingraham famously referred to that as a butt monkey. I had to plead guilty, but I could have won if I'd gone to trial. Like you hear the butt monkey coming. But Anthony Weiner is convinced that had he gone to trial, he could have proven that he didn't know he was sending a picture of his you-know-what to an underage girl.
And there no, go ahead. And at no point in there did he ever say, I violated the law.
No. He served 21 months in federal prison.
Yeah.
He's just saying
the sentencing was excessive.
Oh, yeah.
Well, why wouldn't you try to win?
Because they said to you, you can either accept this charge or we're going to charge you with something else that has a mandatory minimum. And so the risk is called the trial penalty in the federal system. So it's very risky, and that's why so few people go to trial, because you can plea bargain for 21 months and see your six-year-old again in a couple of years, or take your chance going to a trial with the name Anthony Weiner and all that goes with that, and hope that you win the case and spend a lot of money, and then you could then get charged with, then you found guilty of a 10-year mandatory minimum because they charge you with something else. Not many people go to trial in the federal system.
Yeah, because they're going to get smoked usually.
Yeah, no kidding. But why is Anthony Weiner in the news again? Because he did this podcast where he basically is trying to claim that he was overcharged because of who he was. For God's sake, is he arguing that because he was cheating on Hillary Clinton's right-hand woman, Huma Abedin, that the court system came down harder on him? Hell, he's lucky he's alive.
Right.
How many people have crossed Hillary Clinton and come out of it breathing on the other side?
Well, and at the end of the day, he accepted the plea agreement. So he can't
But
argue.
He didn't have a choice, Dan. He was forced into it.
Of course.
Didn't you hear
he
that?
Was. Yeah, yeah. Because he was so innocent.
And this is the guy, and you have to put up with the name Anthony Weiner and all that stuff that goes along with it. Do you remember they did interviews with him right after this happened? Remember what he would make jokes about it himself. Listen.
I was, perhaps you'll forgive me, a little bit stiff yesterday.
Yeah, he was doing interviews joking about him sending these pics, because I think in his own sick, twisted mind, he was somehow proud of what he was sending a picture of, and therefore he knew that was going to attract more attention to it.
Oh, my God.
This is a warped dude who actually thought people would reelect him. He ran for city council in New York, I think, after he got out of jail.
Well, he would have name recognition.
He would have name recognition.
I mean, you hate to say it, but there's people out there who would vote for him.
Anthony
probably.
David Weiner.
He was wrong by the system.
According to this, he did serve on the New York City Council at some point and the House of Representatives. I don't know what order that came in. And then he eventually, after the 2016 presidential election, ended up incarcerated. And he used to be on the staff, believe it or not, no pun intended, of Chuck Schumer when he was a congressman before he went to Senate.
I'm not even going to leave that one.
I'm just saying
this staff.
That he was
staff. He was a staff member.
He was a staff member. He
yep.
stood out from the crowd,
yes,
from the rest
did.
Of them,
yes,
for sure.
He did.
All right. Coming up, we're going to get to Buck Don't Give a Bleep in just a couple minutes. In case you've not had the pleasure of hearing that yet, we're going to play Dan's new theme for you. Next hour, former Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood is part of an effort. If you live in the state of Illinois, they're trying to get an initiative on the ballot that would rebalance the congressional districts in Illinois to what it should look like. Not 14 to 3, but I mean, maybe 10 to 7 or something like that. It's really out of whack over there. The Democrats have gerrymandered Illinois so much. It's one of the worst examples of gerrymandering in the entire nation, and they have the audacity to complain about what's going on in Texas. It's kind of sick. We're going to talk to Ray LaHood about that effort to get this on the ballot coming up at the top of the hour. Stay tuned.
But don't give a f-.
Oh, we're going to make no apologies for what you are about to hear. Or if this segment triggers a few liberals, so be it. It's a new segment where we're going to kind of give a mainstream media platform to conservative voices that are out on social media. What do you think of this?
I love that.
Do you? Well, today we're going to feature a rapper who has become extremely popular over the past 12 to 18 months. He's been rapping since 2018, actually started his music career back when he was 18. He was actually a professional wrestler up in Canada for a while. But he's a social media influencer with millions of followers on X. And wouldn't it be awesome if we could get him a couple hundred thousand?
That'd be great.
On this show. Tom McDonald is his name. If you met him on the street, you might think he was a, you know,
Post Malone wannabe.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Very tatted up. He's got piercings everywhere. But man, he is using his musical abilities to expose the evil and the hypocrisy of people on the left. This current song, folks, is the number one most downloaded song on Apple the last few days and one of the most shared video clips on X and Facebook. I think I saw on YouTube this morning, 2.8 million people have watched the music video on YouTube. Yeah, this clip is only about 50 seconds of a 3-minute long song, but it's the best part of the song. It's entitled "The Devil is a Democrat." You don't have to enjoy rap music either to really appreciate the work of Tom McDonald. Trigger warning, too. If you're a hardcore liberal, this song is definitely going to trigger you. Here's rapper Tom McDonald. Ethan, hit it.
The propaganda is on every channel. They think we stupid like the truth is just too hard to handle. Put on your camo, it's a culture war and load the ammo. They want Antifa ruling everything like it's Seattle. And they want anyone who's fighting to be dead and canceled. They want rainbows in the classrooms and 15 different bathrooms and white guys that hate black dudes. They want war, they don't want peace. They want fentanyl in our streets. They want borders to be weak. I swear the devil lives in California. He a politician. He passing bills that bring chaos and division. Yeah, the devil lives in California. Should be in prison. He got horns, but he tries to keep them hidden. Cause the devil is a Democrat. And we don't play that. They say that. They love America. We know it ain't that.
Man, if that is not the theme music to a campaign ad against Gavin Newsom, I'm going to be so disappointed.
And again, folks, go out there, check this guy out. On this segment, we're going to be featuring social media people, and you just need to go find them after you hear their great rants, in this case, great music. And yeah, again, I don't like rap music, but I can listen to that because it is telling a great story, and he's passionate about it for sure.
It's got a message. And
you can understand it.
And you can understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom McDonald. He's at Tom McDonald. You can find him just about everywhere. The McDonald is M-A-C Donald.
Mac.
Too. Make sure.
Donald.
Mac Donald. Right.
Good. I hope people go out and download it. Download it for your kids, right? If your kids, you have a hard time relating to your kids' musical taste.
Yeah, they'll think you're hip.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Until they start listening to the words.
Yeah.
Then they'll go, "Dad, this is great." Then they'll share it with all their friends. Then you'll get another 100,000 downloads.
Well, and just to support this guy, I mean, what is it, $2 for an Apple download? You know, you're going to send him $2 because no music label is going to pick him up being a Trumper.
I'm going to go to my Apple Music and download it.
There
you
we go.
I am.
Awesome.
Ray McDonald. Ray McDonald.
Tom,
McDonald's.
Tom McDonald.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Tom McDonald.
I'm going to go to McDonald's today. That's going to be great.
There you go.
Ray McDonald.
Tom McDonald.
Oh, sorry.
Tom.
Why do I have Ray in my head?
I don't know, but
why am I thinking Ray? Where did that come from?
Like rap, maybe?
No. I don't know what
I don't know.
It's Ray Tom. Crockett. Oh, I founded McDonald's.
Ray Kroc.
Yeah. Ray Kroc.
Maybe that's what
McDonald's.
I was thinking.
McDonald's. Well, it's a long way to get there, but
sorry.
We got there. Yeah.
Sorry, I had a complete brain fart there. I don't know why I was thinking about Ray.
Hey, great 8 o'clock hour. You got the mayor of St. Charles going to talk about that data center. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, huge. Got him. We've got, of course, Secretary Ray LaHood, former transportation secretary, trying to pass this initiative petition to get it on the ballot in Illinois to make congressional districts fair again. How about that?
Yeah, imagine that. Not this gerrymandered snake running through the middle of the state so they can pick up more seats.
You'll never get that through the legislature up there. So you kind of got to go around them over there, and they've got a ballot initiative procedure like they do here in Missouri. It's a little tougher to get something on the ballot in Illinois than it is in Missouri. Imagine that. But when you try to do that here, they claim it's undemocratic, for goodness sake.
And they'll have a Democratic attorney general who's going to, or the secretary of state who will dictate how it's worded.
Yeah.
And that's always the problem.
Because
they word them horribly and they don't tell the truth on the ballot.
Here's what else we got coming up next hour. Brian Brenberg is going to join us. I don't know if you know who that is, but he's the co-host of the Big Money Show on Fox Business. He's also got a 1 hour special tonight called The Cost of Socialism, and it talks about this trend in America where these younger kids are going for socialists like Zoran Mamdani, and they just don't realize the reality of where socialism has failed everywhere it's ever been tried.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
And the promo for that show looks incredible. I can't wait to watch it and talk to him next hour.
He's going
to
be in at about 8:35. We'll get him on the air. Back after this.